हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनामधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सनि गौर भक्त वृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 69. My dear brother, Vidura continued, your sons, friends, and well-wishers have all passed away. You yourself are at the fag end of your tragic life. Invalidity has overcome you, your once magnificent body. Worse still, you live at the mercy of others. That means he's one of the ones that's as strong as 10,000 elephants. Right, so therefore he was, you know, quite, you know, probably quite buff, you could probably say, yes. It's also interesting here, the fag end of your tragic life, you know, very wary, descriptive.
Invalidity, maybe?
Invalidity just means you can't really take care of yourself. An invalid means you have to kind of take care of him. It's kind of like the flip side of being an infant. Infant, you can't take care of yourself, and invalidity, you know, so it's kind of like just one's older than the other, but basically the same. And worse still, you live at the mercy of others. Because the thing is, Kshatriyas, it's always the idea is that one as Kshatriyas, that you're independent, you know? And then here, as, you know, just as a man, as a person, to be at the mercy of others, then it's not a good position. It's not like it's your duty, so you're surrendered, right? That there's some endeavor on your part. This is that you're not making the endeavor, you're just having others take care of you, right? So it's like being a child.
Yes.
Blind from birth, now you're even hard of hearing. Your memory is enfeebled. You've been given the potency to that it doesn't work. Right? Yeah. Your teeth are loose, your liver is defective, and you constantly cough up mucus. And yet, because every conditioned soul has powerful hopes of continuing his life, you do drag on with bodily maintenance, just like a household dog. Look at yourself, eating remnants of food tossed your way by Bhima Sena.
That's heavy.
Yeah. Now, this is what you'd call hard preaching.
Yeah.
But other than this, then, you know, just talking about Krishna is not hard preaching. Right? Okay. Like this. But the point is he has to make a point. Otherwise, he's going on in his illusion. You have to cut through. So sadhu, because now he's in the renounced order, he's a sadhu, he can cut. You know, that's the business. Srila Prabhupada remarks in his purport to 1.13.23, A sadhu should never flatter kings or rich men to live comfortably at their cost. A sadhu is to speak to the householders about the naked truth of life so that they may come to their senses about the precarious life and material existence. Dhritarashtra is a typical example of an attached old man in household life. He had become a pauper in the true sense, yet he wanted to live comfortably in the house of the Pandavas, of whom Bhima especially is mentioned because personally he killed two prominent sons of Dhritarashtra, namely Duryodhana and Dushasana, because these are the two that they were lamenting the most, because they were the prominent. So basically you'd interface with them the most in the way of that if you something needed to be done, you talk to them. They'd organize the other brothers. It's not that you don't have a personal relationship with each of our the sons. It's just that in organizing or dealing, you deal with these two older ones. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's just kind of like you tell all your brothers, you know, we're doing this today. And, you know, that kind of a thing. These two sons were very much dear to him for their notorious and nefarious activities. And Bhima is particularly pointed out because he killed these two pet sons, right? He also killed the other 98, but these are the two that's brought out, right? Why was Dhritarashtra living there at the house of the Pandavas? Because he wanted to continue his life comfortably, even at the risk of all humiliation. Vidura, therefore, was astonished how powerful is the urge to continue life. Dhritarashtra is blind and continues to hope to live comfortably in the midst of all kinds of reverses of life. A sadhana like Vidura is meant to awaken such blind persons and thus help them go back to Godhead, where life is eternal. Once going there, no one wants to come back to this material world of miseries. We can just imagine how responsible a task is entrusted to a sadhana like Mahatma Vidura. Because it's not just you're saying these things, you have to be able to do something with it afterwards. Right. In other words, the first thing is it's sharp to cut, to awaken. Yeah. Then once one has awoken, then the actual training and teaching begins. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, it's like this. He's thinking everything is fine. It's wonderful. That's why we see occasionally the Bhagavatam. This is being basically kind of that. No, there's other places. It also, I think, was in the second chapter. Now again, here, it'll come up regularly, here and there, just pointing out just flatly or bluntly what material life is, especially the household life. Because that's what we get attached to. That's what we get. It has the facilities. Right? It's not, like Prabhupada mentions, it's not that the brahmacharis aren't attached to their little facility, but that volume of attachment is very small compared to the grihastha, so it's easy to break, and there's always something that does break it. You know, just on its natural course, because, you know, you're living in a room with brahmachari. Sometimes there's less, sometimes there's more. Like, yeah. I remember our temple, you'd sleep on the landing of the stairs. It was an old house, so it was a big landing, big enough to sleep on, but when the temple started getting full, that was somebody's spot, you know? And you might think, and in one sense, it's different from what you had before, so you have to give up that attachment. But at the same time, it's not a bad spot because you're close to the bathroom. Right? And there's one bathroom and 30 brahmacharis. So, you know, the stairs is great. Yeah. You know, because to get there, they have to walk by you. So even if someone wakes up, only one will wake up before you. You know, then you're up if you're at the bathroom. You know, so it has its advantage. But then when there's less people, then everyone complains you're in the way. So then you have to go back to the other place. You understand? So with grihastha life, you're trying to set up, it's set up a nice arrangement. Right? Well, the brahmacharis aren't. They just get attached to whatever happens to come. That's just the nature of the living entity, right? So this bluntness is there for everybody, but especially it mentions householders. Because they're dealing with so much, one gets a tendency to, because it's within the duties to think that this is good, this is right. You know? It's just...
It's just that sometimes it seems like you need some purity and some detachment and some austerity to be able to cut.
Yes, that's why it says sadhu.
Yes, exactly.
Like that.
Exactly. But sometimes it seems like actually if you try to cut, you get a heavy reaction because, well, you can say that because you're in that situation. I'm in a different situation, you know.
That's there, but illusion is illusion. You know what I'm saying? That's the bottom line, is that we'll come up with these things, but that's the whole point, is that we'll come up with these things for the point of trying to be inspired. Now one can complain that he is, you know, oh, he's ruining his, understanding himself, not being positive, not pointing out the good things he's done in life. All that, but the point is that only encourages the material perspective. See, we're trying to change the perspective. It's not even the situation that has to be changed, it's the perspective that has to be changed. Now, having changed the perspective, in his situation, he wouldn't want to be there.
Yes.
If this is earlier, see, he tried the same thing before, when he's supposed to be there, to change his perspective. But it's not working because things seem to be going his way. But now, you know, everything is falling apart. He is intelligent, so it's just he's going on trying to pretend that it's not.
Yes.
Right? Or only looking at those positive side of things.
Yes.
Right? So once you crack that, then you can see the situation is not correct for us. Yes. But see what we're... Yeah. So...
Yeah,
see, when you're dealing... Let's say it's always going to come back, you see, with the person. So there's this nice point. Now, what we're doing in the beginning, why we say why this would be important, because we're engaging things in Krishna's service, it's authorized, you know, why do we have to look at it from this perspective? Why does this keep coming up? Why can't it just be, you know, we're a householder, we're engaging things in Krishna's service, right? But now, what comes up is, but how are we looking at that? Right? Let's say it's authorized. Okay, the grihastha is there. He has facilities. He knows this. Okay, Krishna has given these facilities. So he sees that from that Krishna conscious perspective. Right? But what's wrong with just leaving it only at that? Because if that's done, then why would this conversation come up? Right? Because we see it comes up whether they're Krishna conscious or not. The Pandavas, they're going to do the same thing. As soon as they figure out there's nothing left, they leave for the forest. That's upcoming chapter. Right now, Dhritarashtra crits home. You know, he's first. He's the older one. But very soon, when Parikit is old enough, then they'll leave. Right? So, the element comes up. It's just like this. What would we say if we said, okay, we ask, oh, you know, hey, this guy's your friend. Yeah, yeah. You know, okay, you know, why is he your friend? Why, he has such a great car, you know. I really dig his car, you know. Only cool guys have a car like that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, or, you know, why do you like him? Oh, well, he's got lots of money and, you know, he likes to take care of his friends and, you know. Does that make sense?
It's weak.
It's weak. But you've acknowledged where it's come from. We catch that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it's come from God. It's got to, but it's about me and what I'm getting. That's sakam.
Yes.
That's the whole point. Now if you say, oh, why is that? Oh, he's just, I love being around him. He's so nice. The interactions is great. And, you know, and somehow or another we have a thing. We just like to get in the car and go for a drive. You know, we can talk. We can just, you know, move around. So the car was involved. What's the difference?
The person.
It's about the person. Understand? Now, that you're... Now, okay. Now let us... So the whole point is about the person. Mm-hmm. Appreciating the person. That's what we're trying to get to. So prema means full appreciation of the person. Less than prema means... There's serious recognition on down to, you know, basically not a whole lot of recognition. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's why as the more there's recognition of the person, that's where it gets better. Now, if I, let's say, okay, you know, you're so dutiful, you do all your things. Why? You know, because it's God's creation, it's His, I got to follow God's laws. You know, it's His place. You know, why I should do my own independent thing. Good. Okay? But the problem is if that's just done for themselves, it's better than where they don't recognize. You know, okay, better than that. And why are you doing it? I'm just trying to be a good person. You know, just do some good for people, good for the world. You know, leave something. You know, why I should come here and take, I should give. Okay. Not as good as the first one, according to the Vedic system. But, you know, it's there. Yeah. It's just like, you know, hey, no, we're here. You know, we're here. Life is short. Get what you can. You know, enjoy yourself. Less than that. Oh, I don't know. It's just this and that. And it's all so confusing. I don't know what to do. And, you know, I'm so disturbed. Less than that. Do you understand? So, in other words, the more that one has focus, and is recognizing the personality of Godhead, either by his just basic fundamental common rules, by his God-given rules, you know, I say common social rules, science, you know, rules of science, then your rules of nature, then the rules of transcendence, right? And then just that, you know, he's the supreme. You know, it just keeps going more. You see what's happening here? So accordingly, as you surrender, he's reciprocating. That's what's going on. So that's why it comes up. These should be broken, because at one point it's okay, but how long will we do this for? Right? A hint. The term used is called anadi. You've been here so long, no one can calculate. That's how long we've been trying to keep it comfortable. So at some point we have to understand it's not comfortable, and therefore we have to switch it to the spiritual. And we see there it's very comfortable.
Yes.
Why? Because that's where we're actually supposed to be.
Yes.
You know, that's the whole point. Is that what you say? Yes.
So when this whole cutting thing, it seems that those who need the cutting the most are less willing to accept it.
Yes. Well, it's just like this. Who needs more cold medicine? The adult sitting inside in front of the fire with his hot cup of tea, or the kid outside, you know, he's taken off half the clothes his mother dressed him in and is throwing snowballs at each other?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, and who's willing to take the medicine, who's not? So that's just the way it goes. That's why it's considered medicine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. Like for one person, yeah, that's all. We won't get into nasty examples. Yes?
Some people saying that, okay, this sounds all good, Bhagavatam, but this is all Kshatriya's dealing, so you can be, you know, straightforward and cutting, but what about other people? You know?
Let us look just one slight direction here. The Spanish word for that group of people who would make that comment was called conquistadors. And they spent their whole, you know, I mean, as long as there's Western history, all they're doing is conquering whoever's next door. Yeah. Starting from the Greeks, you know, you have a little, you know, had a little city, and these cities were not that big. And each one is their own nation going over conquering. It's really important. Europeans going out conquering the rest of the world. It's only since like the 50s, 60s that all these places aren't colonies anymore, right? You know, when they said the sun never set on the British Empire, it means it didn't.
Yeah.
You know. You know. So it's so this is the nature. So all it is it's an area that they don't appreciate being conquered in. So it's a bogus comment. Oh, these are Kshatriyas. Yeah, but the background is said that those that escape from Parasaram's tour, you know, tour de Parasaram, right? Like that, then the Kshatriyas went to Europe. And only Europeans would say that. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, it's like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, like that. No, in other words, the Ashkenazis will say it, the Sephardis won't. Right? It's like that. In other words, everyone else in the world knows it's like that. You could take just somebody, you know, go to South America, just go, you know, somebody's older like this, you know, like that, and just say, you know, the material world, this, that, place of misery, and they'll say yes. You know, but we try our best, you know. Go to anywhere. Go to the Middle East, go to Asia, go to, you know, even around there, Italy, East, most everywhere. But the what we call the West, yeah. They're the ones that goes, oh, this is so harsh. But if you put them in the position, that's exactly what they'll do. You know, everybody was savages up until, you know, there's riots and then they lose their power. The only reason that people are now not called savages is only because the savages rose up and took away their power. If they were still in power, they'd still be savages. It's that simple. That is the West. There is no need of Magna Carta for India. But the West, if you didn't have it, you don't want to know what they'd be doing. You know? The laws of war, the Geneva Convention, is just how to kill someone nicely. You're not supposed to use a bullet that has a hollow point. Because when it goes in and makes a small hole, it comes out the other side, you know, very big. So it's not allowed. So they go through. You can't use chemicals. You can't use gases. You can't use, because otherwise they're out there, mustard gas, everything like that. As soon as they figure out it works, they're using it. You know what I'm saying? And this is the class of people that are going to comment that pointing out the material world is not a nice place is too harsh because, oh, they're Kshatriyas. But then we say, okay, so then you've fallen from that. It puts you in Dvijabandha, so it puts you in the Shudras. So then are they going to accept that position? No, you can't talk like that. You know what I'm saying? So from all sides, you can't tell me the material world's bad, and you can't tell me that my position is not strong. You know, I'm just perfect the way I am. Now, is that going to be beneficial for spiritual realization? No, it means any branch of knowledge, if you want to excel in it, the first thing you have to do is to be able to see the elements of that field clearly. And the person who has the clearest vision of that is the one who excels in it the most. So that's the point. This is the reality. This is what it is. You know, just like, let's say, a dog trainer. They know the weaknesses of dog. Every last one of them, ones that you can't even bring up. They know them. You know, what diseases, what this, what that, you know, how they behave. They know everything, you know. But at the same time, they know the strengths. So they know the whole field. They know how to, and they're not uncomfortable. They're comfortable dealing with it. Now here's one, I don't even want to discuss it. So what's that? If you can't even discuss it, how will you even know what it is? So how will you even know your environment if you're not willing to discuss it? So it takes more maturity to be able to discuss it and work with it. Modern things, you don't want to discuss it because if I know what it is, then I'll freak out and I'll have an emotional meltdown. Right? Which is true. Because I think the material world is perfect.
Yes.
But in reality, if it's so perfect, then, you know, where is that perfection? Where in history do we say, now here's an example of a guy who lived his life well, enjoyed, you know, everything went nice. You know, think about all the, who are the powerful people? You know, we think Caesar, you know, killed. You know, Napoleon, horse urine. You know, it's just, you go through it. You know, anybody who's powerful, outstanding in this way, wherever it is, good or bad, they're all gone. You know, like that. Wealthy people, they lose it. You know, they lose the family. They lose their, you know, their sanity. That it's just no one has this great ending that we talk about. You know, maybe someone's here. You heard about somebody's, you know, grandmother died peacefully or something like that. But you know, but is she the epitome of what everybody's looking for? You know what I'm saying? You know, live by the sword, die by the sword. So if you live by spiritual vision, then you'll die with spiritual vision. You'll have that. You'll be able to better yourself when you move forward. It's a science. It's not sentiment. So here they're trying to use sentiment to cover the science. And then when you talk about the Vaishnava sentiment, then they're talking all very analytical. You know what I'm saying? So that's the mode of ignorance. It reverses the perspective. So what is real you see is unreal. If it's unreal you see is real. Does that make sense? So in other words, these are brought out because we see most of the Bhagavatam is talking about it, the positive sides of how to develop yourself. You know, what is, you know, it's like when we say the soul is eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge. How you say, on the liberated platform, transcendental platform, not affected by, you know, anything above all this. Now, is that not glorification? Now, we should be going, yeah, wow, hey, that's me. You know, the whole thing should be happening, right? Is that, but we don't see that. We just see, oh, he's saying that, you know, you're getting old and your body's not functioning, but you're still trying to hold on to being comfortable, as opposed to looking at things reality and getting serious now about spiritual life. You know, he's done his bit as the king. He's done it because the king, he retires. Then you could also say, yes, they're Kshatriyas. They can handle this because at 50, they just retire and take nothing with them. Right? Does that make sense? Even the office computer, they leave it. They don't say, I've been using this. It's what I need. No. They leave everything.
Greatest sacrifice.
They just walk out. And that's something, you know, Vaishyas generally don't do that. They stay in there and they get old and they sit in the corner, you know, as they can go. You go into the shop, you know, the big sari shop or something, you know, really big, lots of people. And there's all the, over in the corner, there's this little wooden box and there's this old guy there. And you see a little, you know, some pictures and he's got his Gita and everything and like that, you know. That's you know, the grandfather, right, you know. His son's now running the shop, you know, and the grandson is, you know, coming up, or he's in school getting his MBA at Harvard or something, you know, like that. And so, but he's there and he's doing his spiritual stuff, but he's got one eye on the Gita, one eye on, you know, what the son's doing, you know, if he's going to make the proper profit. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, it's coming from that background. Now the whole Western culture, even though it has that kind of Kshatriya, you could say, genes, you know, and we're not talking about the blue ones here. On this other side of this, you know, huge, you know, those monster trucks that, you know, you're always traveling on the roads in Europe. So it had this huge, you know, the whole side of the bus, and it's got this extremely good-looking model just wearing a pair of pants, right? And nothing else, and he's standing there, laying there. And the caption is, "Nice jeans," you know, because it was about the pants he was wearing. Yeah. So here we're going, the jeans are Kshatriya, but the culture has developed into bourgeois. It means it's the aristocratic, how you say, emerging middle class emerged to the point where it became wealthy, and they want the same position and authority as those that know the administration, because they have wealth, not because they know how to deal with power. Right? So because of that, then that's the flavor. So your Western culture very much has that bourgeois flavor. It's about money, economics. If it's economically going well, everything's fine. You know, I mean, they'll complain about the social things, you know, but those disappear. People have been talking about recession now for a long time. But these other social issues, you know, kids are starving in, you know, Angola or something. They talk about it for 2 weeks or a month, or, you know, we just had, what was it, in Haiti, was it? They just had that big storm, and so everyone talks about that, or before that was the, you know, thing in Japan. And so those come and go. But the recession, everybody talks about constantly. The only thing that they also talked a lot about was El Nino back in the, you know, when it was there, you know, it did everything. Wow. You seem to have a cold. Yeah, El Nino. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, hey, you dropped your keys. Yeah, El Nino. It's like
their version of Kali Yuga.
Yeah. So the thing is it's this element of economics becomes prominent. And so then why economics? Because that gives you facilities. And why facilities? Then you can have comfortable life. So because that's the prominence, we shouldn't talk about this. You find other things we can be harsh as anything. You know, let's say the persons who would say that. Let's say we said Prabhupada was talking about corporate life. You know, that it doesn't necessarily deal with the individual. You know what I'm saying? You have to fit into this, and it creates kind of a factory kind of environment. If we're making that kind of a strong statement, yeah. What is this? You know, why that? And the worst part is that they support the economics on one side, but why not on this side? Economics is economics. You know what I'm saying? So the difficulty comes up is that they're very selective in where the strong should be and where the pleasant should be. So the point is that if we're being real, we can accept it all across the board. So that's generally speaking, if you find someone who's actually really successful, right? And they're comfortable with that success, then they can generally handle this kind of talk, because they have to be real to be successful. You can't be successful if you're not real. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. So at this point, he's not successful. So, but he was. So you can relate it back to. So you can fall back on that. So that's always, you'll find this easier. Those who actually are able to deal nicely in the material world and like that, you know, in a progressive way, they'll also be able to understand the spiritual science, because it's real, it's practical, like that. And those who are under the illusion that the material world is fabulous, even though they're not really getting much from it, right? You know, so then it's you know, it has to be, you have to feel it's going good. Like I just, someone was telling me the other day, it said, you know, so the iPhone, it has all these, it has iPhone and iPhone S. There's a new one, iPhone C. So S means same. It's the same iPhone, just they added into it something. And iPhone C, you know, they bring it out, be colorful, this, that, you know, I think that means cheap. It's the iPhone that everybody can afford. You know, so everyone thinks it's great, everything's going on, everyone's got their iPhone, it's all happening. You know, saying that's the illusion, so they can't quite catch it. But those who actually deal with it know what it is. They may try to ignore it, right? Because it's not necessarily comfortable, because it means there must be a reality beyond this. If I think this is real, then there must be a real reality, because I'm looking for something that's eternal and full of happiness. And this is always temporary and ends up in grief. So therefore, by nature, I know there's something more. Because that's all I'm endeavoring for. Every living entity is endeavoring for that. But so what Vidura is pointing out here, says what the sadhu does, is points out that it's not here. It's not on the physical platform, it's on the spiritual platform. Because the soul's eternal, not the body. So if that's accepted, now we can talk the nice things. The positive. It's just like, yeah, this big guy, he prides himself in his physical, you know, position. He gets sick. Now the first thing he's going to do is deny he's sick. So the doctor has to convince him he's sick first. Right? And he can tell him, hey, you're sick. No, I'm not. I'm fine. You know, yeah, but it'll be a creaky problem. No, it'll be your performance will go down. No, I can do everything. I can lift the bus. You know, how many buses can you lift? You know, like that. You know, like that. He says, no, no. He says, I buy the buses. You lift them. Right? You know, so, the thing is, you know, so he has to tell him, no, if you don't do this, then this is going to turn into this. This is going to turn into that. And then you're going to have this permanent lung condition and this and that like this. And then he might get shocked and then take the medicine. Right, so once he's agreed to it, now you can talk positive. So that's the whole thing with it. But if you don't accept the reality, you can't talk positive. Then it always sounds like you're talking negative, simply because they won't accept the position. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes?
You mean that Vidura never spoke like that before to Vidura?
He's always been straightforward on what's the right thing to do. But he's never been this point where it even takes it to the element of possibly even insulting.
Yes.
Because he was the position of the king. He did have the power. He was, you know, all his kingly duties he was doing nicely. His problem was is he was favoring his sons. And because of that, in favoring the sons, then the decisions were being made in certain areas that weren't proper for running the kingdom. So he'll point those out. Because he has great affection for his brother. He's his elder brother, so he has great affection. But now he's in the retired position. He doesn't have any position. He doesn't have any of things like that. So now he should turn his attention to the spiritual life. So that's the idea. So then it's there. Because you see is that when he's telling him he should leave home and go out into the forest and take up his spiritual practices. And he'll go with him.
Yes.
You know, so it's not that he's not willing to live that lifestyle. It's not that he hasn't been living. He just knows that this is the right time for it. He wouldn't hear it before. Now is the time. Right? You know, as he mentioned all these things, you know, it's like, what are you going to stay around for? It's nothing much left but food, and his liver's going. So, you know, so it doesn't leave you a whole lot.
Meaning we also should judge when people are ready to hear some more straightforward.
Yes, of course. If they're not willing, then you don't talk so much. You talk to that degree that they can hear. So, but if you're dealing in a general class and that's the verse, you discuss it. But you know, you try to make it for the general mood, like that. So some people that's really going to, you know, speak to some, you know, general people. Yeah, it's nice. And some are really, oh, that's a disturbance. But that's because it's general. But if you're speaking individually or, you know, a specific like group, then you can tailor it more for their, you know, specifics of their environment. Because the whole thing is about being realistic about the environment. Yes. Right? You know, like that. Because if you don't, how do you act if you don't know the field of action? Right? And if you don't know the goal, how do you know that your action is actually generating what you want or what it should be? So you have to know all three. So that's the... Yes.
So it seems that Vidura was the only real friend of...
Yes. On one level, yes. Ultimately is the friend. Yudhishthira is also a friend because he takes care of his uncle. He does nicely there. So you could say both of them are the best friends. One is speaking, from the religious point of view. The other one from the spiritual.
Yes.
But like his Duryodhana and Dushasana, now they were the opposite of his friends.
Yes.
Right? They do nonsense. They make him attached to, they depend upon him, so he becomes attached to them, and then they can't deliver, so they end up, by their nonsense, dead. So
yes.
Now Dhritarashtra is in a worse position. Yes.
I just want to clarify something quickly. That example that you used about the person that cares about the relationship with the person with the car. Now you said it's about the soul, but you described that as like the example you used. You described between the conditioned nature, like I like to hang out with him and the car's there and whatever.
Yeah, but see the reflection. It's just like, where does Mother Yashoda like to hang out with Krishna? In the home. Where do the cowherd boys like to hang out with Krishna? Yeah.
Anywhere else.
So it's not about the forest, that the cowherd boys love being in the forest. They love interacting with Krishna, and the place where they like to do that, that's the most favorable for the kind of relationship they have, that affection they have, is in the forest. And Mother Yashoda, it means how much can you do out in the forest? Maybe you can have a little bonfire, maybe a barbecue, but how much can you do? Right? People, when they do that, how often do they have a barbecue?
Once every month.
From Australia.
Okay, once a month.
From Australia.
Yeah, but still once a month. But still, other people, it's once a year, once every couple of years, or two or three times a year in the middle of, summer.
Summer.
Something like that. It's not raining, so hey, let's have a barbecue. Right? Like that. Does that make sense? So the whole point is, but where are they having it? Out in the outback? No, they're having it, and they go into the garage, drag out the barbecue, they got the stacks of the charcoal there, they got the lighter fluid, Of course, he's got his matches in his pocket because he smokes. So it basically works out. Gets in his car, runs down to the market, picks up what he wants. But going out in the forest, it won't happen. So Mother Yashoda is not doing her household scene out in the forest. You don't have 100 fires to cook on there. So the point is you have, that's why here we like a situation. But in the material world, we take the situation as the prominent, not the relationship as the prominent. That was the example.
But both of those people are still conditioned, so in Krishna's case...
No. Take the example. Don't get into the thing, You use this word, and in Latin it means this, and that goes back to here, and that was used by this particular group in this part of Italy, and those guys were nasty. So does that mean you support their nastiness? It's kind of like, hey, You know what I'm saying? You have to be careful of that. We should cleanse our heart. Yeah, but the Serbians said that about Bosnia, ethnic cleansing. Says, no, it's not about that. We'll talk about it. No, but you used the word cleansing. You understand? Take the example for what it is. Don't get into the words. Does that make sense? We're talking about relationships. Relationship is a generic entity, whether it's spiritual or material. It functions on the same rules. Now, what you'll get from it is the same. It is different. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, a cold can of beans that you've kind of half opened the top with a knife and pried it open, right? And eat it with a fork, right? Now, that's one level of dealing. Now, something else nicely cooked and everything. You like the fork, right?
Beautiful.
Yeah. You want to try to get it at least 2/3, because then it opens enough and you get the fork in. If you only do it half, and dent the thing, then you're really, messed up, because you can't do much more about it. The edge is too sharp, and you just have to cut through it. So, does that make sense? So, the thing is, but what you're getting, it's all food, but the quality you're getting from it. You know what I'm saying? So, that's the whole point, is that rasa is one thing. It's just whether you're getting spiritual benefit, which is eternal, or whether you're getting emotional benefit, or whether you're getting simply sensual. But the endeavor is the same. The senses, you do something, as long as the sense touches the sense object, you're getting the experience. As soon as they're disconnected, it's in the past, it's gone. And you can't even remember what it like. Emotional, you had an emotional interaction, that may last you a lifetime, but at the end of the lifetime, it's gone. Of course, it'll be a samskar next life, but this life, it's gone. But I'd say, but on the spiritual platform, that's eternal. Right? And you get the happiness. So the happiness from each level is multiplied immensely. Does that make sense? So what we're saying is that it's like, you can make an investment. Let's say you take $100, okay? Right? And from this investment, you'll get $50 back. Right? Nice, right? I said it good, right? $50 back. Right? Or, no, you'll get $100 back from this. Or you'll get $1,000 back from this. Or $100,000. You understand? So the whole point is, but the endeavor is the same. So, depending on your consciousness, your conscious spiritual, you get that unlimited spiritual benefit. Right? And if you just see it only on the sensual plane, you only get that much. You see it on the emotional, you get that much. You understand? Because the higher one already includes the lower one. Emotions already include the senses. Spiritual includes the emotions and senses. Does that make sense? You know, like how you say it? Beans on toast means he had to get it out of the pan and heat it up, and make the toast, we had to have bread first, right? And then put it on the plate, and then put it into the thing. Means the beans on toast already includes cold beans, right? You know, so the benefit of the cold beans you're already getting, but now they're better, they're warmed up.
Gourmet.
Yeah. Plus now you don't have to worry about the sharp edges of the can.
Sunday feast.
Yeah, literally. Does that make sense? So that's what we're talking about. The higher one already includes the lower one. So that's what we're talking about. So we're talking about the generic element. Now the conditioning, yes, that's there. So all aspects of conditioning are going to have better or worse. But that's why we gave the different examples at the different levels. Is that if a person is pious and acknowledges that it's God's creation that belongs to God, so they should use it according to the natural God-given laws, even though they don't care about God, really, that's better than if they don't recognize that it's God's creation at all. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say, you have a company. Okay, now here's the reflection. You can see the same principle. You have a company. Now there's the person that's just there because he gets paid. He doesn't care about the company. He doesn't care, so he doesn't really take care of his stuff. He doesn't take the endeavor to really do more. And, you know, but it's enough that he doesn't get fired. He's paid. Okay? Now the guy that actually thinks, okay, this stuff belongs to the company, I'm working here, I'm getting benefit, I should take care of it nicely. He gets more, he's noticed. He'll move up. He gets a promotion, not the other guy. Now the guy that actually then thinks, okay, this company has a particular ethic, let me work for this and try to affect this ethic, then he moves up more. It's recognized. So even on the material platform, the degree that you acknowledge the relationship, that's the degree. Or what's the girl? What's she all worried about? It's great. She's going out with the boy. She has great time. They go to dinner, they dance, they this, they that. They love to sit and talk. But what is the actual concern? And it starts with a C also. And it ends with, that's where it's supposed to, then it's formalized. It's formalized with marriage, but what are you looking for?
Commitment.
Commitment. You understand? So the degree of commitment to the relationship is the degree it's considered higher. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that God recognizes that. So, whatever degree that is there, to that degree, it's better. The more you recognize the relationship, the higher it gets. Just like it does in anything. Why is it like that? It's God's creation. That means the creation works in the same way. The nature of God and the nature of His creation are the same. in a sense, the formulas they work on. Now, how it's manifest. Now, just say, just like this. The person, let's say, has, you know, their nature. You look at their living room. That would be the fullest manifestation of, let's say, their personality in the way of, in connection with, you know, how to live. Now, the garage may be the least manifest of that, or the storeroom. You know, so all the elements of aesthetics and stuff. But if you go into the garage, everything is nicely hung and this and that and in the drawers and everything's perfect. And, you know, they're not half-open drawers you can't open or close, but on these little, like, ball-bearing rollers and everything. Then imagine what the rest of the house is like. Okay? But, in other words, it's there. So the material creation only uses a millionth of a portion of that potency. So it's a very small manifestation. But it still works on the same formula, right? In other words, if everything's efficient in his garage, it is in his kitchen also. It is in his bathroom. It is in his living room. It is in his bedroom. So the same formula goes through. If someone's, you know, an artist into aesthetics, then that's what pervades everything. You know, if someone's into being comfortable, that's what pervades everything. You understand? So God, all qualities are His. So that means that pervades everything. It's just the volume of manifestation. So the material's less. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Here about reality, some even devotees felt in depression. Why is that, and how to uplift them?
I didn't quite catch the.
Here about the reality of the life of
yes.
Some person, even the bodies, felt in depression.
Fall into depression.
Yeah.
It means one is you're dealing with your conditioning, right? Because the conditioning's not the soul. But it's what you work with. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say, if you're going to do work, a hammer can do one kind of work, a screwdriver can do a different kind of work. Right? So it's according to that. So by one's karma, one has a particular kind of, physical and emotional nature. And so for some, then that emotional nature can be prone to depression. Does that make sense? But the point is on the material platform, that's going to happen naturally. But it doesn't have to, because the real person's the soul, not the conditioning. Right? We're not the mind and the body. We're the soul. So the soul doesn't have to function on that. Now, in other words, you would take that the elements that would generate depression and use them in a positive way, because they're generating depression because what happens is your identity is weakened or lost. Because you think, yes, I can do this, or this is my world, and then when it crumbles around you, then who are you? Or, yeah, I can get out there and do this, and then you go and it doesn't happen. You understand? It's not that one failed. People fail all the time. And it's not a problem. I always find it fun, the difference between small kids playing games and big kids playing games. The little kids play games, and if somebody does stupid, like kick the ball over the fence, the boys on both sides of the teams, they just crack up laughing. But if it's older boys, somebody does something stupid, everyone starts yelling and screaming because they take it more seriously. So for the kids, nothing really goes wrong because they don't take anything seriously. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is how seriously you take the material identity to be yourself then is going to be your cause of depression. You know, if you don't identify with it, then it won't cause depression. But not identifying with it means you, not that you don't recognize it. That's the weakness that's being pointed out here, is that you have to recognize, right? Does that make sense? It's just like how, if let's say you have some very new clothes, brand new clothes, and, you know, they were, you know, not cheap. Okay? Then how comfortable are you to move around in any situation? Not at all. Always looking at this, like that, can't touch this, can't sit there, can't do anything, right? Now, once they get, you know, broken in, you know, like that, then do you care? No. So that's the whole thing. The less you identify with it, the better you can use it. But there's this concept, no, the more I identify with it, the better I can use it.
It's like when you have a new bicycle in Maple. It's a free cab.
Yeah. Everything's there. You know, like, yeah. And then there's all the ditches. They're digging more ditches. You know? Oh, that's another thing.
You can't even get out with it because you're thinking somebody's going to take it.
Yeah. Therefore, you get very large locks.
First response to you.
Yeah. Yeah, but then you take it and chain it to something, then you come back and there's no wheels. Yeah, or you come back and there's, and you've done the front tire, only the front tire. Everything else is gone. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's funny. You know, therefore, you know, get a new bicycle and get a can of spray paint and, you know, paint it funny, you know, then it's old, nobody cares. Yeah, nobody steals the yellow ones. Okay, does that make sense? In other words, that's the science. People who are actually, even on the material platform, those who are successful, when they're actually applying their knowledge and their skill, they're not identifying that they are it, they're identifying what it is and what it can do, and they're simply watching if what they're doing with it is taking it in the direction of the goal they want. And as soon as it goes off, they make adjustments because it's not them. Because if I tell you, hey, that was a mistake, oh, what do you mean? So you're not willing to adjust. So they can adjust because they're actually dealing in the present, in the mode of goodness. They're actually dealing, what is their duty, how they should do. They're doing it. That's why successful people are successful. They actually work in the present. People who are not successful are always in the future or past. That's why they don't get anything. You can't deal with the present successfully if you're thinking about the future or thinking about the past. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, therefore, if you take it that, okay, the mind tends to be not, have that certain drive, but then it also has an advantage on the other side, is then there's not a great false ego. And so you can look at things realistically. In other words, you're looking at, I failed in this, I failed in that, this didn't work. Those are real. Yes, you did fail. But the point is you're not those things. So therefore, now what do you do in that situation? Right? So in other words, it's that the situation I'm in, then be real about that. Okay, I can't do this, I can't do that. But if I think about it, in the past, there were all kinds of things I was successful at, you know, that are different from this, so I could do those. So it just makes it very, very clear what you can do. So it doesn't have to be, but the thing is that there's a taste in depression. Because then you can think about yourself 24/7 and feel that you deserve that, and everybody else should also. Not about themselves, about yourself, right? You know what I'm saying?
Wear your comfy clothes.
Yeah, wear your comfy clothes. No, then you wear your really comfy clothes. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the whole thing is in reality there's no bad situation. It's just how you view it. Right? That's the whole thing. That's why you'll see is that sometimes that maybe seems strange that someone who's more successful in the material world, seemingly more materialistic, can also do very dynamically in spiritual life. Because they understand the principles of action. You know, what's the field, what is action, what's result. They know that. So all they do is change the area. Just like, let's say, the man is very successful in selling cloth. So he knows the principles to sell cars. Right? If he sticks to the details, yes, he'll fail. You know, because like on cloth, yeah, nice feel. You know, you come up and say, yeah, nice feel on the car. You know, that's not generally a main seller, right? You understand? So the principle is the same. How to do business is the same. Right? So you bring that across. So they know how to actually get things done because they know how to deal with knowledge, and that, so then they can be successful in spiritual life. But even if one doesn't have that ability to be successful, the soul does. The conditioning may not, but the soul does. So therefore, one can be successful spiritually, though materially it may not be so great. But then, since you're getting spiritual benefit, the returns, you don't really have much anxiety about the material. Does that make sense? So it doesn't have to work out that way. That's why Shastra says an intelligent person doesn't berate himself for his failures. He simply looks at them and figures out what I should be doing. Right? It means if you failed, means something went wrong. So what went wrong? Fix it and move forward. But if we always think about, oh, I did this wrong, I did that wrong, I'm so bad, you're not doing anything right, so nothing's going to get better. Does that make sense?
Yes. Is that you expect someone else to fix it?
Yes, expect someone else to fix it, or at least everybody else to enjoy with you and the inability to fix it. Right, you know, it's like that's why they say wallow in sorrow, because it's not actually positive, it's just kind of rolling around. It. You know, yeah. Okay. Vidura continued. Remember, my brother, it was you who plotted again and again to murder these very Pandavas upon whom your life now depends. You tried arson and poison to put an end to them. How degrading it is for you to linger on in Hastinapur just to slake by their charity the feeble urges of your failing senses. It's not a problem that you have a friend and you've done something inappropriate, and then you figure that out and then work it out, and then now you're able to work together again. So it's not dealing with that. This is dependence. Before, as he is the independent, now he's dependent upon those that he simply tried to get rid of so that his own position would be enhanced. So therefore he's pointing out that's why it's degrading. Unwilling as you may be to die, and however determined you are to hang on to life, even at the cost of your honor, your body will certainly dwindle and deteriorate just like an old garment. Listen well. One who leaves home secretly and then gives up his body in an unknown and remote place, undisturbed by material conditions, is called dhira. Better still is the Narottama, or best among men, who, after realizing the falsity and misery of material existence, leaves home so that he can fully depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is residing in his heart. Right. So, in other words, one is seeing the just that the material world is not a proper place, so he gives that up for the spiritual pursuit. So then, in doing that, then you know nobody knows, knowing this and that, you're not going to be disturbed. So it's not a matter of. But better than that is the person who has that same understanding but uses that position to help others in spiritual life. Right? So it's not about the facilities, because it's understood the facilities have their weakness. Right? It's about God consciousness. Right? Footnote 34. In his purport to 1.13.27, Srila Prabhupada defines perfection as full dependence on Krishna. Real perfection of the path of liberation is obtained when one is practiced to depend fully on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lives in everyone's heart as Paramatma. One may live in the darkest jungle alone, out of home, but a steadfast devotee knows very well that he is not alone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is with him, and he can protect his sincere devotee in any awkward circumstance. One should therefore practice devotional service at home, hearing and chanting the holy name, quality, form, pastimes, entourage, etc., in association with pure devotees. And this practice will help one awaken God consciousness in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. So it's not about the medium, it's about the sincerity of purpose. Right? Medium, you use whatever your nature is. Right? Does that make sense? You know, like a musician is going to use music, a manager is going to use management, a businessman is going to use business. So it's not about that, it's the sincerity of purpose. Right? It means your skill is going to say how good the external works out, but the actual devotion is going to be the sincerity. Right? One who desires material benefit by such devotional activities can never depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what we mentioned before. That's why it's a weakness. The relationship with the person isn't strong because it's about what he has. That's why Shastra says, you know who your friends are in calamity. Because when you have facility, everybody's a friend. Yes. But when you have no facility, then you find out who actually the friend is.
Right?
Yes. Okay. Cannot depend on... One who desires material benefit by such devotional activities can never depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he sits in everyone's heart. Nor does the Lord give any direction to persons who worship him for material gain. But he doesn't give personal directions. You know, they just, you know, as their karma is, it works. Such materialistic devotees may be blessed by the Lord with material benefits, but they cannot reach the stage of the first-class human being, as above mentioned. He's Narottama, the transcendental person. There are many examples of such sincere devotees in the history of the world, especially in India. And they are our guides on the path of self-realization. Mahatma Vidura is one such great devotee of the Lord, and we shall all try to follow in his lotus footsteps for self-realization. So he's mentioning all over the world you'll find such people, but you find the greatest volume in India because the scriptures are geared towards that. The lifestyle is geared towards that. So that's why you see that there would be such a prominence. Just another point here. It says, sadhus should never flatter kings or rich men to live comfortably at their cost. It doesn't mean that in dealing with them you might not have to flatter them. But you shouldn't be doing it because you will get benefit from it. But if it's just that by speaking in a way that they can appreciate, then, you know, you can get the message across. Like that. But it just depends. It's very individual. These kind of things. Like that. Kings, depending on what it is, you have to recognize their position. You don't necessarily have to talk about it. Just don't say anything that would compromise it. The rich man, you might have to mention something. Maybe. Like that. Depending on who they are. Some are very religious. They expect you not to. Some of them, they think they're very special. They want you to. Like that. So.
Maharaj? Sadhu means to cut, I think.
Sadhu means to cut, yeah. One of the I think etymological definitions. I'm not sure it has others, but that. Okay, continuing about 69. My dear brother, the age of Kali is soon approaching. Its terrible influence will diminish all the good qualities of men. You should therefore leave for the north immediately without informing your relatives. Right? And so he's saying he's got all these bad qualities, you know, in difficult situations, and that's Dwapara Yuga. So he's saying Kali is coming, so therefore better move on now.
Important detail.
Before it gets worse. A person who... 24-28, because without informing your relatives, because if you inform, then they won't let you go. You know, that's the whole.
Isn't it that they're all sitting listening?
Sorry?
Isn't it that all the relatives are sitting there listening as well?
No, I don't think in this one. I think he said afterwards he went and was talking to him separately.
Okay. I think Gandhari was right on that.
Let's see, maybe they were. Like Maharaj, rather.
No, they weren't. Like, because they just described, you know, that everybody was gathering.
No, I think this is in private. I always got the idea it was in private. So, like you said, private, maybe, you know, Gandhari is there. You know, what's his name was also Sanjay.
Sanjay wasn't there.
No. He was not there.
Because then they come to him and he doesn't know anything.
Oh, okay.
So none of the brothers and Sanjay, they were not there.
Okay.
Marcy, my understanding is they all hear the discourses, and then says, without informing your relatives, so everybody hears, but they don't know when he's going to go. So everybody hears, but then he's...
Well, they probably don't even know that he's going to go.
Yeah.
A person who attempts to hold the post of a leader of men that requires of him to set a high example of spiritual and moral discipline, but who unfortunately falls into a humiliated state of degradation, would do well to seriously consider these words from the purport to 1:13:28. One can compensate for a life of frustration by becoming a dhira, or leaving home for good without communicating with relatives. And Vidura advised his eldest brother to adopt this way without delay, because very quickly the age of Kali was approaching, a condition soul is already degraded by the material association. And still, in the Kali Yuga, the good qualities of a man will deteriorate to the lowest standard. He was advised to leave home before Kali Yuga approached. One can compensate for a life of frustration.
Actually, it's just that all the palace residents, including the Pandavas and them, gathered around to hear him when they started this discourse.
No, but this specific discourse?
It's in the beginning of the Guru's instructions to Dhritarashtra, so I guess so.
Okay, and so then... So does that pose a problem if they all heard?
No. I'm just, you know, because afterwards they you know, state that they didn't know what happened, you know.
Yeah, but just because you're talking philosophy, like we're discussing now, these kind of things like that, everybody's hearing, and then, you know, when you go back to your house, you find that, you know, someone's disappeared. You know, it doesn't... So it's still, because for everybody there, this is just good instruction on the material world, spiritual life, the focus, all these kinds of things. You know, it's just the standard. So they'll be taking it as it's generic, you know, like that. To push his brother towards this good end, in verse 25, Vidura harshly condemns Dhritarashtra as a kripana, miser. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport. Dhritarashtra, due to his wrong conception of life, had already spoiled 80% of his achieved energy. So it behooved him to utilize the remaining days of his miserly life for the ultimate good. Because a miser is that you have something, but you don't use it. Right? Yeah. The Mahabharata reveals that even though he was disqualified from the throne because he was blind from birth, Dhritarashtra had always aspired to become the king. After the death of Pandu, this desire deepened. Under its influence, Dhritarashtra sanctioned numerous wicked plans, hoping that the kingdom might fall into the hands of his own sons. All such evil attempts failed, however, for such was the will of the Lord. Right? In other words, his skill as a kshatriya is not the point of question. It's his character. Right? So therefore there's guna and karma. So by karma, he can run a kingdom, but the problem is by guna, he can't. Right? Because the point is that if you're blind, then are you independent?
No.
You're dependent. So kshatriya is supposed to be independent. Is that what it sounds like? So that's why he's always going, you know, so it's always about him and his facilities, his sons, that, you know, like that. He sees from that side because he is dependent. So that's why one could say, no, why we discriminate? No, because they don't have the guna. Because if you could say, no, but he's totally detached and this and doesn't care, he wouldn't be a kshatriya. If you could do that, then you could say he's a Brahmin. Now if you have a blind Brahmin, no one's complaining.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? You might want to stay away from, you know, technical rituals. Like that. But when it comes to philosophy and things like that, then it's fine. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. All such evil attempts failed, however, for such was the will of the Lord. And yet, even after the cruel death of his 100 sons, simply because the cultured Yudhishthir respectfully treated Dhritarashtra as royalty, he continued to pass his remaining days in illusion, his intelligence seduced by royal comforts. Srila Prabhupada summarizes Vidura's instructions to Dhritarashtra in his purport to 1.13.28. To become Narottama, or a first-class human being depending completely on the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, is not possible for any ordinary man. As is stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7.28, that a person who is completely relieved of all taints of sinful acts can alone depend on the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Dhritarashtra was advised by Vidura at least to become a Dhira in the beginning if it were impossible for him to become a sannyasi or a Narottama. Footnote 35. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Dhritarashtra received teachings of Bhakti Misra Jnana for obtaining liberation. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to 1.13.30. There are two types of sannyasis, those who follow the Mayavadi philosophy, headed by Sripad Shankaracharya, accept only one rod, Ekadanda, but those who follow the Vaishnavite philosophy accept three combined rods, Tridanda. The Vaishnava sannyasis are Narottamas, whereas the Mayavadi sannyasis are Dhiras. Maharaj Dhritarashtra was advised to follow the Dhiras because at that stage it was difficult for him to become a Narottama, because he could only handle Bhakti Misra Jnana. This is not Jnana Misra Bhakti. This is Bhakti Misra Jnana. Now, that some element of the knowledge and understanding of the Supreme Lord is there, because he had that, but not enough to for it to actually be Bhakti. Right? So therefore, then he's being advised to follow this path of Bhakti Misra Jnana, because at least then that Bhakti element is there, so Jnata Sukriti will be there. He'll free himself from his sins, then in a future position, then being freed from the sins and having that Ajata Sukriti, he may be able to therefore get moved forward and benefit. But as it is now, then his attitude is not very good. So he's dealing with the Pandavas, who are devotees, badly. So it's just not going to go well for him. So this is kind of like bringing him to the neutral state, you know, with a touch of the positive. Yeah. Okay.
The classification of the two types of sannyasis, the Narottamas and the Dhiras, is that?
Narottamas, Dhiras. Dhira simply means is that they're sannyasis, so they're renounced from the world, but they only have an understanding of Brahman. Mm-hmm. Right? And while Narottama means they understand about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they both are transcendentalists. You know, so therefore, they can call them called Dhira. Mm-hmm. They are, I say, sober-minded. You know, they're not distracted by the material energy. Persistently endeavoring on the line of self-realization helps a person to rise to the conditions of a Narottama from the stage of a Dhira. Right? Persistent endeavoring in the line. Right? Yeah. So it's not just occasional. So for him, just giving up the material life and taking up the other. Does that make sense? Now, we have to remember, once they say, so, you know, should devotees who have trouble use this also? No, but this is Kali Yuga. That was Dwapara Yuga. So these things could be still done very nicely. You know, these sitting down, the yoga, meditate, all these different elements. So for us, even be able to become Dhira, it's only by developing the qualities of the Narottama.
Yes.
You understand? That's the position. So, in one sense, it makes it a whole lot simpler.
Yes.
But at the same time, is you know what you're starting with is not as qualified. Like that. So you're getting the, they say the Kali Yuga is special because you're getting the best for the worst.
Yes.
Right? Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Maharaj, but that method relying upon the Vaishnava process, it's not possible to become a Brahmana through just trying to cultivate motive goodness.
No, it won't happen. It means if someone has enough motive goodness, they can do it. You know, in other words, if they already had that kind of quality of goodness, but it's being misapplied, then they'd be able to apply it. You know what I'm saying? You know, like you say, so like Gopi Puranadhan, right? Now, he, very Brahminical, but he was, you know, like that anyway. That's his conditioning. So then very naturally, he can just sit down, learn Sanskrit, study these things, translate. That was very natural, the position. But someone who that's not the background, you can develop that from the devotional process. He's simply taken his own nature, purified it, and used it in Lord's service. Here, we're taking lack of nature, and then through bhakti, we become purified so we actually have one, and then we can apply it. Is that?
So, relying upon the Vaishnava principles, we have to backfill? Do we have to fill up the gap, or is it just the Vaishnava principles?
No, you just follow the Vaishnava principles, it'll automatically fill. That's why we say it's an automatic process. Some people take automatic meaning nothing's done, right? Because, like, if I have a washing machine and it's automatic, what's the benefit? Why do I buy it? You don't have to do anything. The individual doesn't have to do anything. But is the machine doing something? Machine's doing everything. So when we say bhakti, it's automatic. It means, you know, but at the same time, does the machine do anything if you don't, like, plug it in or push the button or put it in the clothes or, you understand? So in other words, there's minimal endeavor. But you making that authorized endeavor, then bhakti does the rest. You know, so sometimes it's brought out, some will complain, it's not automatic. It means it's not automatic, meaning that you do nothing and something will happen. No, you have to make some endeavor. But getting bhakti for what we have to offer, now that's a good deal. That's where the automatic part comes. So therefore the purification of the heart, the samskaras, all these different things like that, the modes of nature, then that's all done by bhakti. Because as we see, the energy is transforming. We're not transforming, right? We're working within the spiritual and material world, but we're not actually the cause of that transformation, right? The material world transforms on its own, right? By the Lord's potency, right? Because we're thinking, I'm doing it, so, but who's actually the efficient cause? It's the Lord. But we're thinking, I'm the controller. And in the spiritual world also, the energy is carrying out everything. We take part. So that's why we're also unique, is we're not, you know, like this powerhouse of energy that we're doing so many things by our own potency. No, we as a potency can take part and connect ourselves to the other potency so that it becomes useful. Does that make sense? You know, that becomes part of it. You know, it's like you have something and you add on to it, and it, you know, adds more things to it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, that's okay. Yeah. Yes? No? You know what I'm saying? The car works fine, but if you put a blower on it, it works more. You understand? Like that. But it'll work fine without the blower. You know what I'm saying? It's independent. The blower's not, other than blowing air. But, you know, getting somewhere, it's not going to do. Does that make sense? Yes? No?
Yes.
At least we can still use car exams.
Yes. Cars and potatoes. That's good.
Cars and potatoes. Yeah. Yeah, sorry, we haven't done potatoes before. I keep thinking now and again I should just say potato.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. The Dura stage is attained after prolonged practice of the yoga system. But by the grace of Vidura, one can attain the stage immediately simply by willing to adopt the means of the Dura stage, which is the preparatory stage for sannyas. The sannyas stage is the preparatory stage of Paramahamsa, or the first great devotee of the Lord. Right, so now Prabhupada puts a little bit more into perspective. Yes.
So what's meant by the means of the Dura stage?
The means.
Is that the mentality?
The means.
going to the stop the means of...
Oh, the means of the deer. Yeah, yeah, it means the process. Or the, it means, in other words, the deer is not disturbed by the surroundings, the environment. So he has nothing to gain from it and nothing to lose from it. Right? So in other words, if there's a duty, that's why you deal with it. Like, let's say... you have this situation, and so there's many opportunities for gain, there's many opportunities for loss. But the point is the dira, there's in the looking at it, it's not a matter of what you can gain or what you might lose. It's a matter of just what you're supposed to be doing. So in that, in performing your duty, what will be gained, and what will be lost. Does that make sense? There's always, in gaining one thing, you have to lose something else. You know what I'm saying? To get rich, you have to lose being poor. It's just an automatic consequence. You can't maintain your attachment to it. You have to be able to give it up, right? Does that make sense? So it's always, that's the point. The energy is always transforming.
So by the dira is indifferent.
Indifferent, but indifference due to soberness, not to do callousness.
Callousness means?
Callous, it means it's like hard-heartedness. You don't care. Yeah. You know, you don't care. Callous? It's like on, like, let's say you're doing some work and your knuckle gets a callus from always being, so it's hard, it's tough.
Yes.
Yeah. So, callousness is just, you're not worried about the personal element. It's just the efficiency of getting it done. You know, so, sober means you can see the whole thing. So you see the situation, the methods, you see the people, you see, so you can deal with all of that. And you deal because you're dealing, because it's your duty. That's the importance why the Vedic system is always talking about duty, because in the beginning if we think we want to do something else, we don't want to do the duty. Then when we understand the benefit of the duty, then we want to do the duty because we get the benefit. Right? But then when we get to the point where we don't need the benefit, then we still do the duty because it's required for the personal interactions.
Yes.
Understand? So it becomes the focus, the central point of interaction. It becomes the medium of interaction. Right? And so any action generates results. So the most important is the relationship of the personal results. But the secondary is the material facilities that one may gain from that endeavor. So the dira can deal with all these nicely. And we see so many examples of dhiras who are performing their duties and materially are very well situated. Like that. Because our idea is that, well, if I'm not going to get a benefit, why would I do anything? But that's jnana. Right? I'm going to get a benefit, therefore I do. That's karma. But I'm going to do, but I'm not getting the benefit. Generally, we would say that's just downright stupid. Right? But the point is that benefits for someone else. Now, if we say, yeah, you're not getting any benefit, that's stupid. No, but my family gets so much benefit. Then it's kind of, okay, you know, there's something there. Or the community gets benefit, and the nation gets benefit, and the world gets benefit, the universe gets benefit. You know, we just keep on going. So, you know, then that'll be considered, okay, a higher stage. Then it's that sacrifice. But here, the point is, but it's still temporary. So making that endeavor, that sacrifice, is done for the Lord, then it's eternal. Right? So everything remains. Nothing goes away. We're used to, you get something, it goes away. Then again, and then it goes away. So you want to keep doing it again and again, just to get the experience. But in the spiritual platform, it doesn't go away. It just stays. And when you do it again, then there's another, and then again, then another. So all it is it's the medium for interaction. Because there's no loss. That's why you can go on doing it eternally. You know, you can't, I mean, on the material platform, you can't go on doing anything eternally. You know? Except for trying to get some benefit. And even that, at some point, just go, something's wrong. Yes.
So the dira, he is indifferent to the result, but he performs the activity still. And the sannyas, he is indifferent to the result, but he will not perform the activity. And
this is on the material platform, because see, he's indifferent would be means you can say he's indifferent, but you have to understand as long as it's the right context. Indifferent means nothing to gain from it, like that. In other words, a neutral rather than. Generally, in the common usage, indifferent is a negative connotation. It means you're indifferent to the personal element, or you're indifferent to getting a result. You know, whether it's personal or how you say physical, right? You know. So, but here, dhira means that they're thoughtful. The dhira is a thoughtful man. So his point is: first, you become a dhira, then you can take sannyas, and then sannyas is that. Preparatory stage of Paramahamsa. Because right? The fourth stage of sannyas is Paramahamsa. The third then is Pribhajakacharya. Right? So that's generally what they're talking about, Narottam going out. So the first two stages can either be within the development of the as counted just preliminary aspects of sannyas, but that can be like where you're developing the dhira aspect. In other words, if it's been developed before, then there's no real need for the first two. If they're not developed, then the first two are good, because then it slowly detaches you from the house and you're able to focus on the spiritual elements. Right? Because for us, that's already worked in. Right? We're already living basically outside the village. Right? You know, unless you're, you know, how you say, 26 Second Avenue, then you're still in the village. But other than that, you know. So you're kind of outside, you know, you're working for, it's not for yourself. You're already, the elements of, you know, Kutichuk is already there, and those that can, you know, does that make sense? So those aspects are already included within our just general lifestyle, because our lifestyle is brahminical, it already includes those. But if someone hasn't gotten that full benefit, or one needs to, you know, practice it more in a focused way, then it's there. So generally we just deal with the Paribhajakacharya. Right? But it's not that from the devotional practice one's not developing the dhira, or in the beginning stages of this Paribhajakacharya one's not developing dhira. Right? So you say, well, that wouldn't be right. But it's just how it works. Just like even though one comes to the Paramahamsa stage, the general tendency of our line is to still remain within the Paribhajakacharya, because that's how you preach. Like that. Does that make sense? Yes. Yes.
In a sannyas ashram, there are four stages, like you mentioned. Vanaprastha ashram also four?
No, Vanaprastha is not specifically structured like that, because you can structure it that way because you're basically dealing with nothing.
Yes.
It's really easy to structure your life if you're dealing with nothing, right? But Vanaprastha, you're dealing with much more.
Yes.
So Vanaprastha, it's not so much. You can move through various aspects, but it's not that the idea is to become more and more austere and detached and more knowledgeable.
Yes.
Right? Because that's the whole. Renunciation is the main thing of Vanaprastha. Yes. Right? As we mentioned before, it was indifference is the quality being developed in sannyas. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, the brahmachari stays in whatever he's given. You know, the grihastha tries to make a comfortable situation. The vanaprastha tries to make a you know, less comfortable situation. The sannyas doesn't care, because it's like the brahmachari. You know, it's one day you're, you know, staying in a dharmashala, one day you're staying in some rich man's guest room. You know, sometimes you travel and you stay at someone's house and they vacate the master bedroom. You know, so you're there, your monster bed, and you know, they got the bathroom, got the this, that, you know, what do you do with it? But whatever it is, that's what they want to take care of. Other places, you end up, you know, on the floor somewhere, you know, yes. And then, you know, looking at the dust balls underneath the bed. You know, like that. You know,
been there.
You know, yeah. Yeah, sadly, so we. Right? So the whole point is it doesn't really matter, because it's whatever Krishna arranges. So it's like the brahmachari, and that the brahmachari. He may or may not be aware of that, because his focus is on gaining knowledge, developing the service attitude. So that should be developed by the sannyas stage. So there it's just the same indifference. Right? What it is vanaprastha is like the reverse of the grihastha. As you started from very little and built it up to a whole lot, you start from very lot and try to take it down to as little as you can. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole idea. So it's just reversing the process. So that means one can, the categories of vanaprastha are according to what particular austerities they're doing. Mm-hmm. Not by necessarily stages, right? Because just like, are there stages of brahmachari? Do you understand? Are there stages of grihastha? Frustrated, more frustrated, really frustrated. Thinking, no, a beginning stage should be thinking, I will not be frustrated.
Yes. Yeah. And then it comes down.
Yeah. So you know what I'm saying? So this whole idea that there has to be stages everywhere is not necessarily important. It's, you don't have to artificially apply that. Like that. So it's like with wife, without wife. You take the yajna that you've been performing in your house, you know, for your whole grihastha ashram, you take it with you. You don't. You know. Does that make sense? You know, what kind of austerities you do? You know, or you're focused more on study or like this. So there's different ways that you can, in other words, you engage yourself in activities that are progressive for the spiritual understanding. So a lot of that will be the dhira aspects. You know, becoming more aware of the environment and less attached to it. Right? And so whatever medium is necessary to start with, and whatever medium you want to, or whatever situation you want to start with, whatever medium or mediums you want to use to get to that, how you say, the sunya state. Is that something?
Yes. In this particular story, when Yudhishthira Maharaj seems like he understood the situation of Dhritarashtra, but because it wasn't his duty to preach to him, then he... wouldn't just do it?
Yeah, well, the Pandavas, they're also, means they're just taking part in the Lord's pastime, that's one thing. So the whole thing is their interaction with the Lord and their dealing, so then they tend to behave as if they're just kind of regular people. But as we saw before, is Dharmaraj needed a break. You know, all he's dealing with is majority of sinful people. And just, you know, you did this, this is what's going to happen. Like that. So, but being a Mahajan, he doesn't have as much opportunity to preach. You know, only those who are pious or those... Because the people that come to Petri Loka, it's not necessarily that they're devotional. They're just pious. Like that. So here he gets an opportunity. He can actually, for 100 years, preach. Right? So now you can say, well, it's 100 years. Compared to his, it's only 100 days. Or even, actually for them, it's even longer. I mean, shorter. Because they're living for, you know, 72 of these Mahayugas. But the experience of 100 years as a human is 100 years. You know, so that means he's not gone from his work for that long. You know, it's just, what do you call it, the son of the Munga Abhimanyu is gone for 16 days. Because that's on the, I guess it would work like that. I guess they just live longer. Because it would be the same day. Yeah, so all it is 100 days. It's like a little over 3 months. So Aryama, he manages the place for that time. I'm not sure the detail, but Aryama is kind of like a second Yama. You always hear about him, the mantras and that we talked about. Yes?
Here we see that Vidura, by his mercy, Dhritarashtra could attain the stage of Tira.
Yes.
It wasn't enough mercy to get to the stage of being a devotee. He felt it's not appropriate.
It's a matter of what he is actually able to do in the time that he has with the background he has. But in other words, he's very old, and he's spent a lifetime of opposition to the Pandavas and the Lord's plan. Right? So the Lord has a plan to get rid of all these bad kshatriyas and bad people. And so Dhritarashtra was a willing instrument in that, you know, to, how you say, Well, what would be the term? You kind of pull everyone together, you know.
Orchestrate?
Yeah, no, he's not orchestrating. The Lord's orchestrating. But he becomes like a catalyst for all these bad kings to get together in one place at one time. Now, isn't that better than you have to go around and individually go and catch them all? You know what I'm saying? It's like Jarasandha comes, like we said, 18 times. And you know, then there's, you know, fighting and all that. But that means he has to go back, get together another Akshahini, and come back again. So this takes a long time. But 18 Akshahinis were destroyed. Now the battlefield of Kurukshetra, 18 Akshahinis were destroyed. So we can understand, you know, and so all that endeavor to get rid of 18 Akshahinis. Now Jarasandha himself just had 18. You know, or could organize 18. So, you know, in other words, he was bad. You know. He was one of the biggies, you know. So it's, does that make sense? So if you get them all together at one place, it's quicker. So here, Jarasandha brings so many together, but it takes longer. But this other one, they all get together at once, and in 18 days, you've gotten rid of them all. You know, it's the basic and average of one Akshahini a day. So, you know, not bad. Quick. Okay, so the Paramahamsa are the first grade devotee of the Lord. So the Paramahamsa means that they're on the liberated platform and they're a devotee. Right? So that's the whole point. Because otherwise, if you're on the liberated platform but not a devotee, then that's just the sannyas or, you know, the preliminaries to that. Yeah, hamsa. You know, the preliminaries to that at least. Like that. So does that make sense? So the sannyas can be either way. Yes. But Paramahamsa can only be devotees. Yes. Verses 29 to 37. Dhritarashtra leaves home. In verses 29 to 37, Suta Goswami describes how Dhritarashtra finally leaves along with his chaste wife and Vidura. When their absence is detected by Yudhishthira, he inquires from Sanjaya, Dhritarashtra's servant, about Dhritarashtra's whereabouts. Vidura's instructions had the miraculous effect of convincing Dhritarashtra about the value of spiritual life. At once he broke off the strong tie of family affection by summoning forth his resolute Kshatriya determination. That night he left home unannounced and set out on the path of liberation. Right. So even if, you know, we were discussing, even if everybody did hear, no one expects him to go that night. You know? Okay, it's one of those things, yes, you should move in that direction, become more detached and all that, and then slowly, they'll sit and discuss, you know, Yudhishthira and him and the others, and then, you know, finally work it out, then he'll go to the forest, and then, you know, like that. But that's why you're not supposed to know where they went. Otherwise, they'll be coming out and visiting you, and, you know, bringing nice things, and having a picnic, right? You know.
You're doing good.
Huh?
You're doing good.
Yeah. Yeah. So that. Yeah. So all those things you'll avoid. So no one expected him to go that night. But it said miraculous effect. One, that's the potency of the pure devotee, and two, that also shows why. In the Mahabharata, he's called, and even Prabhupada refers to him as the Rajarshi.
Yes.
Because he had the knowledge, but he was distracted by his attachment to his own sons. His own sons aren't there now, so it's a little easier to be a little detached. So now he's falling back. So he says he's falling back on his resolute Kshatriya determination. The Kshatriyas are very determined. They decide to do something, it's going to happen.
Right?
Yes.
So but he has his family affection was he has only his wife and no son, no brother, no...
No.
Only Pandava.
It means the Pandavas are there, but, you know, it's the whole situation because it's a family affection, but then there's everything connected to that. You know, the whole, the palace, the this, the
yes.
that, you know, all these different things.
Yes.
The leftovers. Just the leftovers.
Yeah, the leftovers. You know, still, whatever's left. And he may also be holding on to the memories, or...
Yes.
You know, because
yes.
those also are, you know, very powerful samskaras.
Yes.
So here he gives those up, so then he can move on nicely. So then it's good. So he has that Kshatriya determination. That's why you see Brahmins and Kshatriyas, it's very easy for them to do these things. means, in other words, it's standard that they should be. In other words, Brahmins aren't doing this, there's something wrong. Kshatriyas do that, that's, you know, proper. It's just standard. And if they don't, it's kind of looked down upon. Vaishyas don't do it, it's pretty standard. If they do do it, now that's a good, that's a proper Vaishya. Vaishya, just like Prabhupada mentions about Lalababu in the Nectar Devotion. Right? That was outstanding. Because not only was it, it wasn't just he was a Vaishya, but he was part of the aristocratic aspects of the Vaishyas. So it means he was very wealthy, very influential, you know, very well known in the community. Otherwise, why mentioned him? You know, it's just like saying, let's say, like a, I say, Warren Buffett, you know, packed up everything and renounced and moved to Vrindavan. Like that. And didn't buy himself a place, you know, or half of Vrindavan, right? You know, so does that make sense? So it just, then it's considered, you know, good, like that. Does that make sense?
Warren Bhakta.
Hmm?
Warren Bhakta.
Yes. Yes. That night he left home unannounced and set out on the path of liberation. As Dhritarashtra traveled to the north, his faithful wife Gandhari accompanied him like half of his body, even though he was no longer attached to her. Because that means that it's cooperation, so it's like half. So they just work together. But it's not he's attached to her as a woman. It's just he deals, you know, the duties because you just it's the other half of your body. You know what I'm saying? It's just like if you're not attached to your body, it doesn't mean you don't deal properly with it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. It's just engaged. You know, you want to eat. Even though you're not attached to your hand still picks things up, puts it in your mouth. You know, oh, I love this hand. Why don't you get this hand? You got a great hand. Yeah, you know, heavy hands you see like that, yeah. You know, so it's not like,
oh, there's this one.
Yeah, talk to the hand. Hey, it's a good hand. Yeah. You know, so it's not about that. It's just functioning. The duties, that's the advantage of it. If you practice duties your whole life, then you can function in this way. Otherwise, this is one of the most difficult things in the Western culture, is that there's in general, there's no sense of duty. You know what I'm saying? If you have the old world European kind of culture, you know, if that even means anything to anybody, then you know it is based on duties and cultures and what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to talk, dress, walk, deal, you know, everything like that. So you had that. But the modern is kind of like supposed to be international, which means, you know, fine print American.
Yes.
Right? You know, so that's what it's, you know.
Could you say Slav culture?
Slav.
Yeah, you could.
But this culture may be
merged enough that it could actually be called that something.
Slav culture. But at the same time, there's that lining that the... We don't want to go further back. Okay. In his purport to 113.29, Srila Prabhupada writes, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great preacher of the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, has stressed the importance of association with sadhus, pure devotees of the Lord. He said that even by a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can achieve all perfection. We are not ashamed to admit that this fact was experienced in our practical life. We were not favored by His divine grace, Srimad...
Were we not?
Yeah, I was going to say, that didn't work out there. As we're going, saying, no, there's something wrong with the sentence. Were we not favored by His divine grace, Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, by our first meeting for only a few minutes only, it would have been impossible for us to accept this mighty task of describing Srimad Bhagavatam in English. Without seeing Him at that opportune moment, we could have become a very great business magnate, but never would we have been able to walk the path of liberation and be engaged in the factual service of the Lord under instructions of His divine grace. And here is another practical example by the action of Vidura's association with Dhritarashtra. So, in other words, that was the thing. It means that would work out like that. But if you... the material wouldn't have been favorable. That's why it didn't work. Because as we said, devotees under Krishna's plan. So what's ever going to be favorable for devotional service, that's how it goes. Right? Because if you've been involved there, then there's so many details. How would he be able to sit down and translate Srimad Bhagavatam? Right? Because that takes time, focus, everything like that. So he wouldn't be able to do it as a big businessman. But that failing, taking that up, then we see great things were done. Bhagavatam, the whole society, the organization. It's just like, did I mention this? But one devotee was mentioning to the managers of this kind of international organization how the principles of how ISKCON is structured. Because they ask him, how being managers, they ask him, well, how is your society structured? How do you run? And he mentioned how Prabhupada tells about the GBC and the position like that, and then the temple presidents and how the whole thing worked. And after hearing the details of it, they said, this is an amazing, structure. They hadn't thought of that. And they're doing well. They're successful. They have, 40 different centers and things like that. So they were impressed. And, they're all professionals themselves in that. So the point is Prabhupada had that skill, had that knowledge, to the point where we can't even appreciate it. We can't even understand the brilliance of it. But for him, that was just something you engage in Krishna service. It's his own skill to engage in Krishna service. Okay, we're at time 7, so we'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.